Stubbin' a Cappity is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Hillside Medical Game Studios. So this show in particular, but really the discussion around town is all about Ryan Tannehill. That's it. Ryan Tannehill blew the game on Saturday. There's no way around it. And we've talked about it a little bit here, talked about it a little bit there. It was funny. I was listening to Jim Wyatt this morning on the midday show, and he kind of offered up a, you know, Ryan Tannehill feels terrible, but it wasn't just him. They missed a tackle. They could have gotten an interception. They could have this. They could have whatever. And Derek Mason said to Jim Wyatt, he said, Jim, and I love Jim, he said, Jim, I love you, but I'm not so sure about that. And I kind of chuckled, and I was sitting there like, there are some people, Caroline, you've talked about it, there are some people in the text line who do not blame Ryan Tannehill for the loss on Saturday.
They are blaming just about everything you could possibly blame, except the most glaring person to blame, and that is Ryan Tannehill.
Yes. And I would say this. I know that it's time to move on from Ryan Tannehill. TD wrote at ESPN.com, the Titans have reached their ceiling with Ryan Tannehill. Caroline thinks Titans can't win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. Stephen A. Smith says, you want to get over the hump, you better get yourself another quarterback. D. May said it today. Hey, if I played with him, I'd go out there and play, but I'd be thinking in the back of my mind, hey, get me another quarterback. They'd all be saying that. The thing that's crazy is Stephen A. Smith makes $8 million a year, anywhere from $8 to $12 million a year. His opinion doesn't matter. Derek Mason played 15 years in the NFL. His opinion doesn't matter. I host a very popular afternoon radio show in the city of Nashville, and really the only one that actually focuses and drives topics, and what I think doesn't matter. I mean, it only matters what one or two people think. And those two people, John Robinson, the general manager of the Titans, but more importantly, Amy Adams Strunk, the owner of the Titans. We all know the story. 2006, Jay Cutler, Matt Leinart, Vince Young. Bud Adams lives in Texas. And Vince Young just brought the Longhorns a national championship. Jeff Fisher went to USC. He hired Matt Leinart's offensive coordinator. But Bud Adams wanted Vince Young. And all of a sudden, Vince Young was the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. So it matters what the people in charge think. And I know this, and Ian, I think you can back this up from all those years working with Floyd. Let's say Floyd Reese sat in his box on Saturday night and watched Ryan Tannehill throw the Titans out of the playoffs and waste the number one seed and have to sit at home and watch Cincinnati play Kansas City instead of having a packed house at Nissan Stadium. And he decided in that moment, I'm done with Ryan Tannehill. Just like I said on Monday, it's time to get divorced from Ryan Tannehill. If Floyd thought it Saturday night, if he was still the GM, how many people would know that he thought that, Ian?
Probably just him.
Just him. He wouldn't tell Jeff Fisher. He wouldn't tell Rich Sneed, his number two in charge of the Titans. He probably wouldn't tell Bud Adams until he had to. But he would know, and he'd start to think in his mind. So when I look around and I read that, oh, Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle, Pete Carroll doesn't know if they'll be able to keep him, they're going to be missing their left tackle, their right tackle, their center, their running back, both tight ends, their backup running back, and they don't have any draft picks, and they've got a ton of cap space. If he was thinking about Russell Wilson, he wouldn't tell Mike Vrabel. So we've heard what Vrabel had to say about Tannehill. We've heard what the players have had to say about Tannehill. But what does John Robinson think about Tannehill? What does Amy Adams Strunk think about Tannehill? And I say this as almost like a rhetorical question. What do these people think? Because they're never going to tell you. They paid him $62 million so far in pure cash, Amy Adams Strunk. I think she'd like a little bit more return on her investment, but she'll never tell you that. So all I can go off of is what I know about John Robinson. And I start with what Floyd told us when John Robinson got hired about what he expects at the quarterback position. This is what the GM said in 2016.
I mean, I know John and I know where John comes from. And if you turn the ball over, you're not going to be on this team. So if you fumble the ball, you better change. If you throw interceptions, you better change.
Okay, if you turn the ball over, you are not going to be on this team. Caroline, do you have any expectation that Ryan Tannehill is going to change, as the GM said there at the end of that clip?
No, I do not.
Okay. So we know that. We know Robinson does not do turnovers, and we know if you fumble the ball, you better change, and if you throw interceptions, you better change. That's not a good sign in Tannehill's direction. The second thing we know about Robinson, he's not afraid to be bold. Now, sometimes his bold decisions have blown up in his face. The decision to draft Caleb Farley right now doesn't look like a good one. The decision to draft Corey Davis coming off of an injury, catastrophic mistake. But last year when he decided he wanted to go out and add some defensive linemen, he ended up cutting Adoree Jackson, a starting corner, who the Giants paid a ridiculous amount of money to, and Dennis Kelly, his starting right tackle. And I would say exchanging those two to re-up on the defensive line and signing an injured Bud Dupree, bold move, it worked out. Bold move, Mike Mularkey gets to the divisional round of the playoffs, beats the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead and wildcard weekend, and he fires him a day after they lose to the Patriots. So Robinson's willing to be bold. Robinson's willing to make moves. And the moves they make are usually shocking. Remember SEC Tournament 2019? Tennessee gonna play Kentucky on Saturday. And all of a sudden, right before tip-off of the mid-afternoon games, the Titans have traded for Ryan Tannehill to back up Marcus Mariota. And nobody saw it coming. TD was on our show earlier today in the TD Power Hour, Teron Davenport. I asked him, if you were John Robinson up there in the box on Saturday night, what would you think?
Well, I think you have to have an honest talk with yourself and say, listen, I can't rely on this guy to make everyone else better. I can't rely on this guy to not turn the football over, to manage the game in the playoffs. And I think that's the whole thing. And this goes back to something that I've said before when I called Ryan Tannehill a game manager. And I said, it's okay to be a game manager. It's all right. You know, Tom Brady, your favorite player of all time, was a game manager when I started winning Super Bowls. So it's okay. But a part of being a game manager is not turning the football over. And I mean, let's face the facts. And two losses over the last couple of years, there have been four interceptions. And I'm not going to put the blame on anyone except for him. And we could explain the first interception, how Julio Jones should have worked his way back to the ball and how there should have been something, a route backside to kind of put the safety in a bind and make him have a decision. But the fact of the matter is, as a quarterback, you have to see that safety coming down and not throw that football as late as it was thrown. And granted, again, Julio Jones should have worked back. But I say all that to say that it is really evident that this team has hit their ceiling with Tannehill as the quarterback, unless they find a way to get premier playmakers at every single offensive position, and that's just not possible. So, I mean, I think it's time to take a look at other options.
Don't you think J-Rob's probably thinking the same thing? I know Joe Rexrow doesn't want to go over other options. I know he thinks there's no way it can be done. And I know Paul Kaharsky will not let you have a discussion about changing the quarterback unless you know exactly who you're going to go get. And my guess would be, just like Joe, when you bring it to him, hey, this is what I would do, he would probably, no. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't think the GM is sitting on his butt and saying, well, you know, I signed Tannehill to this extension last year and it blew up in my face, but I guess I'm just going to run it back with the same guys trying to go up against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Derek Carr and everybody else in the AFC. And I guess I'm just going to try to go give it another whirl. I don't think he's doing that, which means I think he's going to try to do something. We've already outlined today, a trade for Russell Wilson doesn't seem crazy. It's worth monitoring what Tom Brady ends up deciding to do in Tampa Bay, because he may just want out of Tampa Bay and onto a team where perhaps he could win a little bit more. Trade post June 1st for both he and Tannehill makes the cap numbers manageable. Aaron Rodgers, who knows? But I cannot believe, knowing what I know of John Robinson, I cannot believe that John Robinson is just going to put his arms inside his jacket and say, well, I guess this is what I've done, and this is it, and this is what I have at quarterback. They will look in the draft. They will look at Russell Wilson. They will look at Aaron Rodgers. They will look at Tom Brady. It doesn't mean they're going to make a move, but I gotta believe that they're going to look. 615-737-1025. What do we think Robinson thinks of the quarterback situation that they have right now with the Titans? Plus, Vrabel said something that really got D. Mace worked up. And I want to go over that, and I want your thoughts. I want Caroline's thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
As far as the quarterback situation is concerned, like, what is it about Ryan Tannehill that you feel should make him the quarterback next year and in years beyond?
You got elite toughness. You know, we have to be great around him, but he's shown signs of accuracy, of decision making. To the ability to extend plays and to scramble, and and leadership, you know. So those are all things that you look for in a quarterback, and you know Ryan showed us that. Unfortunately, we turned the ball over on Saturday.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. And when I first heard that, I thought, oh no, Vrabel's drinking the Kool-Aid. Oh crap. Oh, goodness gracious. Now, I still don't think that that's as strong of an endorsement as the one Taylor Lewan gave. Ian, if we could, on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, Taylor Lewan, and I did listen to the podcast this morning, and there will be some things in there that I thought, you know, might be interesting discussion points. But I got to say, that podcast is not, like, my kind of thing.
Yeah, no, you are not their target audience.
I'm really not.
They want to bro like down, and I don't know if broing down is in your repertoire.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know that is.
You know yourself.
I mean, I'm not like a buttoned up wearing a suit all the time kind of guy. I mean, I'm wearing a t-shirt doing the radio today, but I just am not unlike.
Look at you wearing a t-shirt for the radio show, letting loose, kicking your feet up.
I kind of feel like, you know, yesterday I wore a button-down shirt, and I wasn't as comfortable, so I decided I was going to wear a t-shirt today. Here's what Taylor Lewan said.
Here's what I have to say about anybody who's like questioning Tannehill is years past, even this year, him having the confidence to throw it into situations and it's worked out before and you guys all that he was the greatest. Like, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean he's any different, dude. He's a stud. And with the boys ride or die with Tanny, he has literally revived the Tennessee Titans along with the new defense.
So that's not the same as what Vrabel said. Vrabel, you know, extreme toughness, signs of leadership, scrambles around, makes some plays, signs of accuracy. And the more I hear that, the more I'm like...
Signs of accuracy.
That's not really an endorsement.
The signs of accuracy kills me.
And this is why, and I said this on Monday, the Titans media, Vrabel can be very short with people sometimes. And so the Titans media, you know, doesn't want to have Vrabel. Like, Paul Kaharsky, everybody laughed that time that Paul asked about Jim Schwartz's role, and Vrabel got all mad. And it was like, I looked at it like it told me really more about Vrabel than it did about Paul Kaharsky, but the people on Twitter are like, ah, look at what he said, you know, whatever. But that's why the question had to be asked. Are you committing to Ryan Tannehill as your starting quarterback next year? And Vrabel would have given you some smart-ass, smug, I'm too good answer, but it either would have been a yes or a no, or a we don't know. And that's what I, because the question was, what are signs that you want him to be your quarterback? Well, these are some signs that I'd want him to, but it doesn't mean I
want him to be.
Right. And so maybe Vrabel's not as committed, but the question we asked, what do we think John Robinson thinks? We went over today how it is not completely unrealistic to get Russell Wilson. Fair?
Fair.
It's a little bit more unrealistic, but also not crazy to get Tom Brady. Fair?
Fair.
Aaron Rodgers, you probably have to do some work on.
I think Aaron Rodgers would be the most difficult, especially with the news today with Nathaniel Hackett going to the Broncos. That feels like the most likely landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. And his fiance lives in Colorado.
Yeah, but I mean, Aaron doesn't care about anybody except for Aaron.
That's very fair.
But
with his offensive coordinator in Denver, I think that, to me, is the most likely landing spot for him.
But I ask this question. What does John Robinson think? Based off what we know of Robinson, Caroline, what do you think John Robinson thinks?
If Floyd said John Robinson doesn't do turnovers, that's what Tannehill has done this year. He's been a turnover machine. I don't know what John Robinson thinks about Tannehill. But what I do know about John Robinson leads to me to believe that he is disappointed and not pleased with Ryan Tannehill.
Well, that's obvious. But what do you think? Do you think he's at a breaking point with Tannehill?
I mean, I don't know how you can't be. I mean, Floyd said he doesn't do turnovers. Why did the Titans lose on Saturday? Why are they not hosting the AFC Championship game?
Because why have Ryan they lost two home playoff games in a row?
Why did they lose against the Texans during the season? Because Ryan Tannehill turned the ball over. Ryan Tannehill put the ball in the hands of the other team's defenders. It's not just something that we saw on Saturday, albeit if it was just Saturday, that would have been bad. But it is something that we have noticed all throughout the season, that Ryan Tannehill turns the ball over. Ryan Tannehill is inaccurate, and Ryan Tannehill makes questionable decisions with throwing the football. I don't know how you can be pleased with that. I don't know how you can be okay with that. And I don't know how you can't even consider the possibilities for a new quarterback after that.
Ian, what do you think John Robinson thinks?
I don't know if he's at a complete breaking point yet. Just because, you know, as much as we don't like to admit it, he did win them 12 games and get them the one seed regardless of all the other stuff. So they're
did
not.
Did he, though?
Well, I mean, are quarterback wins a quarterback stat?
I think they are, but I mean, so God, he sucked this year.
Yeah, I get that. But they still were able to do what they needed to do with him as the quarterback, given all the stuff that was going down. So they're not going to completely just throw that out the door.
It's fair.
Even though he probably screwed up the playoff game, but you know, he's probably thinking, who are my options? Are they better options? Floyd always say, all right, I need a new right tackle. Okay, who can you find me that's better? Okay, I need a new quarterback. Who can you find me that's better? And is he trying to find the next Ryan Tannehill that he pulled off for the Marcus thing? Like, is there another option out there that could be Tannehill 2.0? I don't know. I'm sure he's thinking of trying to find options.
Oh, I hope it's not a Tannehill 2.0 situation. I want Russell Wilson. I have tried to talk myself into Russell Wilson. I think Robinson knows he's got to make a change. I just don't know if he... I just don't know how committed he is to that. Because...
To make a change just to make a change, though, you know?
I don't think he's going to do that.
Right.
No.
I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think that he's going to make a change to Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston.
Yeah, like bringing in Andy Dalton doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, because those guys won't even make it through the season. Right. Dalton,
what did I tell
hurt.
You happens? If John Robinson picks up the phone today and calls the Seattle Seahawks and asks for Russell Wilson and they don't get a deal done, what happens as soon as that phone is hung up?
ESPN.
Immediately. The Titans have inquired about Russell Wilson.
The news is out, and Tannehill knows that he is no longer the guy.
Isn't that a good thing, though, for the Titans? From this standpoint, who is in charge of the Russell Wilson trade? There are two people.
John Robinson?
No.
Russell.
Russell and Pete.
True.
And we know that if Russell wants to go, Russell's gone. Like Pete has said, again, the quote was, Pete Carroll was asked if they can get through the offense without a repeat of the rumors and speculation about Wilson's future. Quote, I don't know that, Carroll told Seattle's Fox 13. I don't know that. I don't want to give you false hopes because there's just so much stuff that can happen in the offseason. There's unpredictable stuff, but we'll do everything that we can to keep it in order and all that. So he told you, like, I mean, Russ might want out again. So, if it gets out, in fact, if I was Robinson, I might call John Schneider and say, I'd like to talk about a deal for Russell, hang up the phone, call Diana Russini, who clearly is in the satchel of the Titans, call Diana Russini and say, hey, I just called John Schneider about Russell Wilson for Ryan Tannehill. Why would John Robinson do that? Not only call, but put it out there.
I don't know.
Because he wants Russell Wilson to know about it. Because if Russell's in charge of the Russell trade, and it comes out that the Titans have called Seattle about Russell Wilson, and let me say something. If the Titans were to call about Russell Wilson and Diana Russini were to get that, that becomes the number one story that day at ESPN. Like, that is, the Titans have called about Russell Wilson, is leading First Take. It is all those shows. Maybe you wait till like Wednesday of next week to do it because you got the football games and the NFL doesn't like that. But you get that out there. And then Russell Wilson knows, Tennessee's calling about me. And now Russell drives the discussion. And now Russell wants to come here. And you don't think if Russell heard that, if it was like, hey, Tennessee called about Russell Wilson, Seattle said they're not all that interested in Russell Wilson and trading for Tannehill, they're not sure. And then all of a sudden Russell's thinking, wait a minute, solid offensive line, Derrick Henry at running back, A.J. Brown at wide receiver, Julio Jones, which, again, I don't give a rat's ass about Julio Jones, but they do.
He's a name.
Defensive line that just got 9 sacks in a playoff game, all-pro safety. I'm just saying that would be the move for Robinson. But I just don't think Robinson thinks he can win with Tannehill anymore. I just feel like I know too much about how Robinson thinks, and I just can't believe that he thinks he can still win with Tannehill. And I don't think he's going to throw his hands up and say, well, the cap's too bad, can't do anything about it. Because when a general manager is the one who made that decision and then they put themselves in that spot, then that leads them to getting in a lot of trouble.
So he will do whatever it takes to get himself out of that hole.
Well, he knows he's only got so long.
Right.
Like, he knows he's only got so long until Derrick Henry's not good anymore and the offensive line's a mess and you got to pay Simmons $28 million a year and it's all coming.
Because I think he understands that the longer that Tannehill is your quarterback, the more and the longer you're just wasting Derrick Henry's potential. Jeffrey Simmons' potential.
Keep that thought. 615-737-1025. We're to your phone. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Like, we're talking multiple first-round picks to acquire any of these players. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, start with 3 first-round picks. Okay, so if you're talking Rodgers, you're talking Wilson. You're starting with 3 first-round picks. If you want to go down the Deshaun Watson route, you're starting with 3 first-round picks immediately and additional assets. That's how pricey that market would be, even if you can get the Seattle Seahawks to go, yeah, you know what, we're willing to part ways with Russell Wilson at this point. On the other side of Russell Wilson, there's going to be a contract extension, probably not for a year, but you're looking at another massive contract extension. There's potential for Deshaun Watson for another contract extension, Aaron Rodgers, automatic contract extension. So you're talking about 3 first-round assets, additional assets, and then very likely within 12 months of any of those players, but you're talking about a $40 million a year contract extension for a number of those players. So that's the kind of commitment for the primaries.
Caroline, you have a problem with $40 million contract to Russell Wilson?
Nope.
Okay, I don't either. By the way, that was Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports NFL Insider. So he's saying 3 first-round picks to start with Russell Wilson. According to who? Remember, Russell has a no-trade clause. Here are, I went through a list, and I promised phones, so phones in just a second. But here, I came up with a list of quarterbacks in the NFL, like teams that are set at quarterback. So this team would not have any interest in Russell Wilson. Jacksonville, Kansas City, the Chargers, Buffalo, New England, the Jets, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Dallas, San Francisco, Arizona, the Rams, and Chicago. Anybody on that list that you think would have interest in Russell?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
They're all pretty set.
Teams that have starters, but the Titans are on this list. Indianapolis, Houston. Indianapolis does not have a first-round pick. Indianapolis, Houston, the Raiders, Miami, Cleveland, New Orleans, Atlanta, Philadelphia, New York Giants, Minnesota, Detroit. You think Russell Wilson wants to go to Detroit?
No. Okay. And I thought New Orleans was a serious contender for Russell Wilson before Sean Payton retired. Now I don't think that I would want to go to New Orleans if I were him.
Denver, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Washington don't have quarterbacks.
I don't think any of those landing spots, other than maybe Denver, would be as desirable as Tennessee in terms of winning
Pittsburgh,
right now.
Like, I could see him want to go to Pittsburgh, maybe Pittsburgh a little bit, but I don't think you'd want to go to Pittsburgh over the Titans.
I mean, it would really just depend on, you know, chemistry with Tomlin over Vrabel. Would it be, you know, does he want to go
to
a team?
Look at the defensive line.
Does he want to go to a team that's going to win right now?
But this team got 9 sacks in a playoff game. And again, I had Justin Beasley, used to work at Channel 4, tweeted me and was like, Russell Wilson doesn't want to come here and hand the ball off all the time. Remember when Russell won? He had Marshawn Lynch. By the way, I just looked this up. If they make a trade pre-June 1st, the dead cap money for Russell Wilson is $26 million. The dead cap money for Ryan Tannehill is $28 million. So you're talking about taking a huge hit against your cap if you trade pre-June 1st. Post-June 1st, Russell is 13 dead, Tannehill is 9. So it would make more sense for it to be a post-June 1st trade, but then it'd have to be the 23 and 24 draft and not include the 22 draft. All right, phone, 615-737-1025. Matthew is going to kick us off here. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Good.
What would you be comfortable with giving up for Russell Wilson?
2 first-round picks. And then I honestly might give up more. So he dropped off there. I will say this. I am more, like, I can tell you what I wouldn't give up before I can tell you what I would give up.
When you say I'd be willing to give up more, do you mean more draft picks or more, you know, players, money?
I'd be willing to give up any player off my roster that isn't Jeffrey Simmons or A.J. Brown.
Including Derrick Henry.
Yes. I would be because you cannot win right now. Like, you cannot win. I have decided that on Saturday night, I realized, and honestly, and Caroline, you can go back and look it up because I was texting you during the game. Mm-hmm. It was the second interception that was it for me.
Yeah.
That was the moment where I was like, screw this guy, get somebody new in here. Had they won, had they come back to win that game, and let's say that when they tried to bleed out the clock at the end of regulation, that Derrick Henry had busted one down to the 26, and they kicked a Randy Bullock field goal and they won the game. Had that happened, I would have been complaining all week about Tannehill. And I would have been picking the Chiefs, and I would have been telling you the Chiefs are going to light them up, and that Tannehill's the reason why the Titans are going to lose. And I'd be arguing with callers every day. But the second interception was the moment that I was like, you cannot win with this guy. Once you realize that, nothing else matters.
But if you deal Derrick Henry, let's say, to the Seahawks, doesn't that make the Titans a much less desirable landing spot for Russell Wilson?
Well, like, obviously Russell's a part of this negotiation.
True.
This is a 3-person negotiation. I don't even know who Russell's agent is, but he's the 3rd person. I mean, this is a big deal. And the key is that Russell has to want to go here, because if you're going to offer 2 first-round picks, you're going to try to do what the Rams did with Stafford. Somebody else is going to try to jump in. And they may offer 2 firsts, and their firsts are better than your firsts. So somebody else is going to try to jump in, and that's when you need, like, Russell to be like, no, I'm going to Tennessee. Ricky is up next on Sierra. Thank you for calling Stillman and Company. Go ahead, Ricky.
Jared, my man, how are you?
Good.
Quick point. New York sports last year was all over Russell Wilson for the Giants, and one of the selling points was that his wife, who is a Grammy Award-winning performer, was looking to get back into the music industry. What better place than Nashville, Tennessee? So if he really has, and I believe they reported there was a list of 5 teams that he was willing to waive his no-trade clause for, and New York was mentioning Nashville last year as a destination because of the connection with Music City. I think you give up the 2 first-rounders, give them anything they want, like you said, other than Simmons, and sell the city to him, and he's the new quarterback.
See, I think you sell the – thank you for your call, Ricky. I think you sell the team to him. And I don't think you need to sell it. We watched that game.
The team is set up to win.
He watched that game.
It's set up to win.
Just ask yourself this question. And this matters only because It's Russell's opinion. So it doesn't matter what Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless or Colin Cowherd or all these people, it doesn't matter what they think, except that the question is, like, what does Russell think? If you were to say, let's say that the Titans, let's go back to my hypothetical situation where John Robinson picks up the phone, calls John Schneider, says, hey, we'd be interested in Russell. Yeah, you know, we're not interested right now in Russell, but we'll be thinking about it, whatever, in the conversation. Diana Russini. Diana, we just called Seattle about Russell Wilson. We're trying to work on something. Diana Russini could not get to her phone fast enough to get on ESPN to say, you know, sources are telling me that the Titans, if Diana Russini's going to go carry water and go on TV about the Bud Dupree at Walgreens thing, she'll definitely going to jump Wilson. On TV to get on there to break a Russell Wilson story. So now, and Caroline, you've worked at ESPN, so you know how this works. But if the second Diana Russini says that on TV, every show's talking about it.
Yes, that is the first thing, let's say SportsCenter's on, that's the first thing on the ticker, breaking news, Tennessee Titans inquire about quarterback Russell Wilson.
What would be the prevailing, every analyst that they bring on, every Stephen A., every talking head, they would be talking about the Titans are right there with Buffalo and Kansas City if they make this trade. Like, they would be talking about the Titans as the 2022 Super Bowl favorites.
It would be tough to have watched that game on Saturday and not think that they are right there with the Chiefs and with the Bills if they have a competent quarterback. Yes.
I mean, and that's...
And maybe competent isn't a fair word to say, but you know what I mean.
And that's Russell. Like, that, you got to get that into Russell's mind. And once Russell thinks that, like, I think this is something that the Titans almost have to manufacture. And they have to keep the ball rolling, knowing that they probably can't do anything until June 1st.
You know what's kind of crazy? I'm looking through the text line, and it is an overwhelming sense of Russell Wilson is a bum, and we want no part of him.
Do these people watch football?
If you think Russell Wilson is a bum, if you're calling him a bum, what did you see on Saturday?
Oh, God.
What was that?
Oh, God. Do the people who listen to this show watch football? I mean, we got people in this town that cover football that don't know anything about it, you know, anything that happened 5 years ago in the NFL. But, I mean, do we have people that watch football that listen to this? Russell Wilson's a bum? Russell Wilson, the same Russell Wilson we're talking about.
There were people texting in wanting Matt Ryan, but Russell Wilson's a bum? I think
Matt Ryan can be saved. I'm not anti-Matt Ryan.
But to say that Matt Ryan, well, let's make a push for Matt Ryan, but Russell Wilson, that guy's a bum, that guy's washed, we don't want him. What? Your quarterback just threw 3 interceptions in a playoff game, and Russell Wilson is a bum.
Wow. Wow. I may have to get a new job. I mean, I thought that the
that's
intelligence...
That's enough, I'm hanging it up.
I thought that the intelligence of this audience was higher than average, and now you're telling me
Don't insult our listeners.
You're right, the texters. Now you're telling me that the text line is saying Russell Wilson's a bum.
Yes.
Russell Wilson.
It says Wilson. Yes.
Like, we asked earlier today whether or not Russell Wilson can go to the Hall of Fame. Like, I mean, oh, my God.
Now the text line's popping.
Oh, to your phones.
Yep.
We'll go to your phones. Plus, the thing that I will not allow to be discussed on this radio show, that's next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Number eight, Mike Vrabel. Coach Vrabel is a really good head coach. I think the fact that his quarterback and Ryan Tannehill is holding them back, and he's still able to get the number one seed, not having Derrick Henry in the lineup this year. We saw the quarterback issues this past week against Cincinnati. That's why he's at home right now. Once he gets a quarterback, like an Aaron Rodgers, for instance, he will wind up being in the top 4 coaches in the National Football League. Write this down.
Keyshawn says, get a better quarterback, you'll go from 8 to 4. As a top 4 coach in the NFL. What about Russell Wilson? I'm telling you, Caroline, if Russell wanted to come here, I don't think there's anything that would keep this from happening.
I mean, if he wanted to come here, the Seahawks really have no option but to deal him. I mean, he's already made it known. He does not want to be there anymore. The Titans, I mean, we don't know what's going on with the ownership and in the front offices about what they want to do with Ryan Tannehill, but if Russell Wilson makes it known that he wants to be here, I mean, I think the only thing that could hold it back is potentially cap issues. But if that's a problem, they'll figure it out.
We already worked the cap out. Doesn't matter. Wait till June 1st. Bang, bang. Better for both teams. Phones, as promised, 615-737-1025. Matthew in Cool Springs. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Matthew.
Jared, you are easily the most entertaining and knowledgeable guy on sports radio, so I pose you this.
Okay.
Robinson put together the two worst drafts possibly in NFL history. We have very little to lean back on based on his breaking these drafts. Is it giving it? I agree with you 1,000% Russell Wilson is the answer. But do we have enough capital in the future then to be competitive?
Define future. When do you want to be competitive?
I'd like to be competitive next year. But
I'm talking about, like, when you say to be competitive in the future, do you mean if you trade your picks this year and next year to go get Russell Wilson, then are you going to be competitive this upcoming year? Yes, you will. Now, will you be competitive in 2025? Probably not.
Point taken. I'm concerned you have a GM who is not on the caliber of your coach. Vrabel is what he is, but he's a better coach than J-Rob is at GM.
So I disagree with that, Matthew, because look at your 2019 draft. Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Amani Hooker, Nate Davis, David Long Jr.
It was a brilliant draft. Let's talk about the last two.
Okay, but see, you can't say, and I appreciate your call. Think about this. John Robinson took over the worst team in the NFL. In his first draft as general manager, Jack Conklin All-Pro, Derrick Henry All-Pro, Kevin Byard All-Pro. Do you know how hard that is to do? Like, that is insane. So this idea of, like, well, I'm just so worried if we give up the draft picks, we're not going to be good. You will not be good in 2025. But you're probably not going to be good in 2025 anyways. So look, and you know me, you guys know me. Trade deadlines for the Predators, they trade first-round picks away for Ryan Hartman. I lose my mind because I think it's stupid. Last year, you know, hey, go for it, Julio Jones. I'm like, no, because I think it's stupid. But this is different because I think you have a championship caliber club, except you can't win with your quarterback. I think you can win with that quarterback. And I'd be willing to risk my job over it. Let's go to Thomas, who's up next on Russell Wilson. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, I would say a lot of people in Nashville may be looking at, like, his fantasy football scores because I know I got screwed over him multiple times because he didn't have a good year. And so I'm all in on Russell Wilson. I think he'd do a good job. Like you said, like him and Marshawn Lynch did a good job. What's the difference between him and Derrick Henry doing a good job? But people are looking at those fantasy football scores being like, he didn't do anything worthwhile.
Here's the other thing. Thank you for your call, Thomas. The New England Patriots on offense were so bad in 2019. The unit that they had out there on offense, they were so bad in 2019 that we were convinced that Ryan Tannehill was a better option at quarterback for the Titans than Tom Brady. And Tom Brady was like, I got to get the hell out of here. I got to go. I can't be here anymore. Screw that. That's how bad those players were. In fact, Belichick knew they were so bad that this year he went out and spent money on Jonnu Smith, spent money on Hunter Henry, spent money on Nelson Aguilar, spent money on Kendrick Bourne. Like, he went out and spent a lot of money on offense because he knew he didn't have any players. Why does Russell want out of Seattle? Because they don't have any players.
They don't have any players.
That's why he wants out. Now, they got two wide receivers. But other than that, it's average guys that he's carrying to the finish line. He's tired of that.
Why does Brady potentially want out of Tampa Bay?
Why did Stafford want out of Detroit?
No players.
That's why they want out. And that's, I mean, to me, I think it's simple. And again, Russell Wilson might be washed up. He might be Julio 2.0, where he comes in here and he's not good anymore and you're paying all this money and you gave up all these picks and you look like an idiot. And guess what? You get fired. But if it were my job, I'd be willing to risk it. What I would not be willing to do is put that team back on that field with Ryan Tannehill as quarterback in an AFC with Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Herbert and say, all right, let's try it. By the way, If the Denver Broncos get their wish, they just hired the offensive coordinator of the Packers because they're going to make a run at Aaron Rodgers, add him to the AFC teams that you are going to have to go through. And I'm not interested in that. Time now for Predators Game Day.
It's Hockey Night in Smashville.
Deflex back for Duchene. His shot stopped. And the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now with Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Predators Game Day presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. The Predators taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight right here, 8 o'clock. On ESPN 102.5, the game, the pregame coverage starting in a little bit over an hour at 7 o'clock. The Predators are 27-14-3, good for 57 points so far in the season. The Oilers, a very disappointing 20-16-2. That's why they've shaken everything up in Edmonton. John Hines, though, says with guys like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, the Oilers are a good challenge.
I think it's going to be a great challenge for us. I think Edmonton, you look at the last couple of games they've played, two wins against two really good teams. I think when you look at the style of game they're playing, you know, they've been very aggressive. They've generated a lot of scoring chances. I think we all know how good their power play is. So it's going to be a good challenge for us. And something we've talked with our team about is how are we going to be able to play against, you know, a team that is playing well, won two games. They have some great star power. So, for us, it's making sure that we're ready to compete at the level we need to compete at 5-on-5. And I think our penalty discipline is going to be really important tonight. And we're going to have to get, if we get on the kill, our penalty kills are going to have to be dialed in.
And so if you take a look at the standings, Colorado leading the way, 63 points, and they still have three games in hand on the Predators, which is pretty incredible. I mean, they are sitting there a solid 6 points ahead of the Predators with three games in hand. They are the class of the division, the class of the Western Conference. Predators in second place, 57 points. St. Louis, 2 points behind, but two games in hand. And Minnesota has a whole month of games in hand on the Predators, 53 at four behind. Minnesota has six games in hand on the Predators, and they are only 4 points behind. So the Predators are pretty much in fourth place in the division. But again, that's okay. Big one tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, but Philip Forsberg is tied for ninth in the NHL in goals with 21. He has been red hot, and he reached 21 goals in 31 games, his fewest required to reach the mark in his career. And among skaters who have played in at least 25 games, he's first in goals per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 so far in the season. Meanwhile, Dante Fabbro is out with an upper body injury. Eli Tolvanen is going to miss his third game in the COVID protocol. As again, they take on the Edmonton Oilers tonight at Rogers Place in Canada at 8 o'clock. That is going to do it for us. But Caroline, you are coming up next for a special edition of The Six. Caroline Fenton and Elijah Campbell, what are we talking about tonight on The Six, Caroline?
We've got a full hour of Titans talk, quarterback talk, and a few betting picks for the night. So it'll be a good hour. Make sure to tune in.
Are you going to go through the Russell Wilson breakdown too?
We just might, but I feel like we may have done our due diligence with Russell Wilson for the day.
I will be listening. That's it for us. We're out of here. Back tomorrow at 2.